Welcome to part two of our conversation with Andy Guy. An Ovilus in itself, the device, and there's a gazillion apps out there, some better than others. But the way it works, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it's essentially there's a giant bank of words in this thing.
Yeah.
And then we're relying on the ghost or the spirit to somehow know how to access the data on this device to pick that word or this word. Is that
exactly?
Okay,
exactly. And if you don't know how to do it, then how could you know they, how would they need to do it? And also you can't even explain it to them. So
yeah,
how would that work as a communication medium?
We're talking about, I don't know. I mean, it is bizarre because I do not investigate much. For the most part, I am sitting here in the studio every single day having conversations like this. But me and my daughter have been going out a bit and doing some stuff on social media. And there is one app that I got that's an Ovilus type app. And I did my research and asked around, like, is there anything that anyone would recommend? And the one I have has been highly recommended by a lot of people. And that's, I take that out. We have in a REM pod and all of their stuff. But as far as what this app has produced has been creepily weird and very much on. When we've been out, as far as the words that it's saying that correspond specifically to like what we're asking or saying, one of the most bizarre ones that I had not that long ago, we were in a cemetery, which was surprisingly very active on this app. I go to another location, it can be completely dead. So it's not always consistent either in terms of it, you know, always producing activity. But I said to my daughter, or I said out loud to the air, I said, if you can, and she was carrying a K2 meter, you know, try and use that device. Go close to the device that she's holding, and that'll help light it up if you get close to it or try and touch it or something. And I was just saying the thing over there. And then it says, meter? And it's like, yes, exactly, yeah. The meter. Yes, I'm like speaking in child speak, but it's like, oh, that was interesting. Of all the words to pick at that moment in time. And there had been others, too, that were just really, I don't know. I was very surprised. And I don't think I was going to too much lengths to try and make it make sense either. So I don't know. I mean, in that case,
definitely. Yeah,
that's been one. I'm just kind of going into it without an opinion. You know, of course, you hear this or that and everybody has their opinions on what works or doesn't. But I'm like, let's just try it. Let's see what it does. And that surprisingly has been interesting for me. And I don't know. Maybe there is a way to figure out how to manipulate such a thing on the other side. But that also then, again, contradicts the way that I look at a lot of these things, too, of if I can't figure out how to do it myself over here, why would I expect a ghost to be able to do it? So I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Other things, other devices that are out there. I mean, obviously EVPs, things of that nature. But there's many other like audio type manipulation things that are out there these days as like well.
Portals.
Yeah. The ghost box. There's those other things that are basically kind of like random noise generators. And yeah, the portal type things. Those have been scarily interesting to watch some uses of those. What are your thoughts on some of those type of things?
So the whole concept of ITC is interesting. The problem is how people are using it is not usually consistent with that theory. So the theory goes that you generate white noise, mm-hmm. and then an entity is able to manipulate that white noise into words.
Yeah.
So the problem with some of that is say, for example, when people are using earphones, then there's no air for that noise to get manipulated. That air, that pressure wave creating that white noise, there's no way to move it because it's not actually ever a pressure wave with earphones. The other weird thing is that you don't usually see people just using white noise generators. You see them using radios to generate white noise, which shouldn't be necessary. If the concept is the white noise is manipulated, then you could use a white noise generator, which could be a radio just on one frequency that's got nothing else on. Mm-hmm. Then that could use. So we had an SB7 and we used it for about 2 years. And for about a year of that, we kept it inside a Faraday bag, which is like, you know, it was for a mobile phone. So you put a mobile phone in it, It's got a copper mesh inside the fabric of it. It stops any communication to that phone. But we put an SP7 instead inside. And for the year, we didn't get a single thing out of it. So the first year we did, when we were using that bag, we'd usually get the odd words here and there. The second year, inside that bag, nothing at all. Investigation after investigation, we recorded the entire night. Not a sausage. Which isn't that encouraging, but it did kind of... it was another bit of equipment, and then after that, I just sold. But yeah, this comes down to that whole manipulation thing again as well. You're getting this thing you're trying to witness and record, but then something is being done to it. Reverbs being added to it, or delays being added to it.
Yeah.
So anything coming through is already going to be manipulated. And if that thing's radio, then yeah.
And that's been interesting. With the reverb on some of these, and I don't even know what some of these devices are called, but I've seen some interesting ones that don't necessarily run radio frequencies, but it is a white noise, but it's like it already has audio to it, and I'm probably not describing it very well, but
it is another form of like an SP7, using a small radio modulator
just
manipulating it.
And with the reverb, I've been shocked by some of these things that I've been seeing people, supposedly getting. And with the radio as well, I've questioned it just because, okay, you're hearing this, you're scanning frequencies of people talking. And to say that this is surely this or that, I don't know. I mean, I've had some very interesting ones, though. Not that I've captured myself, but some guests who've been on the show have sent me quite amazing little pieces of audio. Even like saying my name when they were talking about, are you going to be on this show and name the show? I mean, it was like scary. As far as what I was being presented with, when we go on to the future of investigating and devices and tools and things of that nature, where do you think it takes us? What's coming down the line in the next 10 years? What do you think will be developed that's out there right now, or if somebody's trying to tinker with?
So. Actually, I've got kind of just asked, there's one point about the SP7 thing, which I didn't quite touch on.
Go ahead.
I think that there is something to the SP7 or any other kind of radio based speaker playing, and that is the EMF factor. So one bunch of experimentation that we did was with playing audio through EMF frequencies. So using a guitar pickup as an audio input and pushing out that amplified through a guitar pickup, and then using another guitar pickup to then pick up that EMF and change it back into audio. So passing that audio through the EMF bands rather than through as a air pressure wave. And that was quite interesting. We were getting lots of little EVPs that way, just by calling out and then passing it through EMF. So that's something I want to pursue a little bit. But that also indicates that if you had something which was sensitive to those sort of EMF, like a speaker, and the microphones we use are dynamic ones, so they are also sensitive to EMF, could that speaker, which is also amplified, pick up those little bits of EMF and then put out the voice? So what people are picking up on EVPs and maybe even through SP7s is actually recorded or generated EMF fragments of words, which then are coming out. And then just because there's a radio playing, that's almost by the by, you're also actually picking up things which you could have picked up on an audio recorder.
Interesting. Yeah. As we dig deeper into this, the more and more possibilities that exist and new ways to think about these sort of things, especially if you have an understanding of how these things work.
Yeah, and like I said, that's kind of the future. I've got this we went a bit nuts at the end of last year, and then just started doing lots of different things which we could just try, mm-hmm. and then see if there was any sort of pattern to what results we got, like air capacitance or filling a room full of positive ions and all the sort of random little things which you hadn't tried, just mm-hmm. as a kind of a spatter of experiments. But equipment-wise, I think the FLIR technology type thing, so the thermal imaging, is going to become a lot cheaper. I've made a FLIR about 2 or 3 years ago now, using a very cheap sensor which did like this 8x8 matrix, and then I bumped it up a little bit. It was kind of rough, but then I've seen a newer one which is a bit cheaper. So I think that will go down, and then people will be able to use those in ways which are a little unexpected, to be able to then visualize differences in heat in different places, mm-hmm. which we're not currently seeing with just flat FLIRs.
Yeah.
So, for example, the concept of, like a 3D vision of what temperature is looking like, for example, that could certainly be something which we don't see too long from now.
And that'd be very interesting to see.
Yeah, because that gives you a bit more data.
Yeah.
So and without going too much into things, so if one thing we've witnessed in audio is that there could be some sort of dimensional, but I'm talking about physical dimensions aspect to what we're seeing. So things are flatter than they should be, or as they're going further down a corridor, they're becoming more high pitched than they should be. Mm-hmm. So. Is the temperature the same? Are we seeing, when we see kind of a cold patch or feel a cold patch, is that actually a 3D object, or is that something which is not as 3D? Mm-hmm. Which might be another interesting bit of information. I'm personally looking at future-wise is interconnectivity of devices. Mm-hmm. So using some low power Bluetooth, have devices communicate to each other around a building, so that when something is changing or something is happening, then you're more aware of where to go, because sometimes you go to some buildings which are absolutely ginormous and you could be sitting in a room and missing things going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So being able to kind of pin down where to go is going to be a big step forward for us as a team.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Andy. A big thank you to him for joining us and sharing his experiences with us on the program. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.